to guitar.
Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Future.
Where are you going? Who are you going with?
Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it.
Great start for a Monday, right, everyone? Well, welcome you all to Drive to HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And today, William and I joining here with our wonderful guest, Nikki Gibson. Hey, Nikki, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much, Nisha.
Well, glad to have you here with us today, Nikki. I know we met at TalentNet Live, and that was the first time real-life interactions with you, and then now we are talking live on air.
Yes. Great. I'm excited.
Alrighty. So if you can do us a favor, would you please talk a little bit about yourself so that our audience can know a little bit more about you?
Sure. I am currently leading the talent acquisition team at Pizza Hut. That includes four field recruiters, a corporate recruiter, and an awesome coordinator. All of my background in HR has been in recruiting. I've worked in the pharmaceutical industry for companies like Alcon Laboratories as well as Johnson & Johnson, and then segued my way over into the retail industry working for a few years with JCPenney. I always say about myself, I said I didn't think I was going to land in HR, but now that I'm in HR with an engineering degree, I'm excited to be in it. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere else.
Well, that's great. So let's move on to our very first question of what's keeping you up at night, and then we can take it from there.
Sure. Besides my 5-year-old who wants to get into bed with me every night, the biggest thing that is on my mind at night is part of my responsibility is recruitment marketing for our 6,000 franchisee stores, which also includes some corporate-owned stores. And I've been trying to crack this nut about how do we make sure that our jobs are always out there visible, but we have the right amount of marketing behind our jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really interesting story, Nikki. So, you know, for most of our audience, let's just say, who are looking forward to getting to recruitment marketing more aggressively, so to help them out, you know, who owns or who should own this recruitment marketing at an organization? Is it a role of an HR, marketing, or both together?
So, you know, and I've been studying this probably over the last, I want to say about year and a half, kind of dibbled in it a little bit at JCPenney, but I think it's a partnership between marketing, not only just marketing from a digital standpoint, but also social media. But ultimately, the recruitment department knows how to find people. And, you know, we should own that, but in partnership with our marketing people. One of the things that I did when I came here is I started asking a lot of questions about recruitment marketing and how it had been done in the past and how things had evolved and why we didn't seem to why we had not seemed to have made a lot of progress. And the first answer that I got from the recruiters is that marketing doesn't want to work with us. And I was like, oh, okay, well, why do you say that? Well, every time we go to them, they won't give us anything. And I said, oh, okay, well, why is that? What are you asking for? And as I started peeling back the layers, and then I said, well, who are you talking to? Do you have the right buy-in? Have you done your due diligence? What's the strategy? I started figuring out that we just hadn't gone in with the right questions and we weren't talking to the right people. So I quickly talked to my boss, and I was like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I said, but I really need to figure out who the right people are to talk to in marketing. I said, but the other thing is I don't know that we have the right partner to help us really get, you know, crack this nut on recruitment marketing. And I don't even know if it's about recruitment marketing. I'm thinking about rebranding it to – it's more about recruitment branding. Because marketing is it's different. We really want to get out there and brand ourselves from a Pizza Hut standpoint. But I just started poking around and looked at our current vendor and talked to our other brands about what they were doing. And I think we were all on the same page. We didn't know that we had the right vendor in place to really help us with what I want to say is more recruitment branding. And all of our brands, Taco Bell, KFC, we kind of embarked on this journey of trying to find that right partner. And in trying to find that right partner, we realized, you know what, we probably need to do it a little bit differently. And we really need to involve our marketing, digital marketing, our social media partners early on in the process when we're making these decisions around how do we want to go to market with our recruitment branding.
Yeah, and it's really confusing for practitioners, too, that there's wonderful agencies out there from TMP to JWT Inside to Bayer to Bernard Hotis. And so there's the agency perspective, which is really ad agencies but with a background in employer and employment branding, recruitment mm-hmm. marketing. And then there's also the technology plays, like what used to be Jobs to Web, but now even Smashfly or Telemetry. Mm-hmm. There's some great, you know, technology plays that act as kind of agencies in some ways. So take us into that process, because I'm getting a feel for where you're at and the interest that you're representing. But how do you, if an agency isn't out there that isn't a perfect fit, how do you get them to fit what you want?
You really have to think about, so what I thought about is there are a couple of different things. I'm an engineer, so I'm always going to think in numbers and process all the time. That's going to always be top of mind. So for me, being the leader of a team and having this responsibility, for me it was all about I need to find a partner who can balance my mind out. And not over-index on the things that I'm already good at. I'm already good at numbers. I already know how to analyze numbers, and I can look at things and processes and figure them out. But I'm not a marketer, okay? I took some marketing classes to get my MBA, but I am far from knowing what an agency should look like or work or anything like that. I couldn't draw a picture for you if you asked me to. So my mindset might be a little bit different than someone else because I was looking for a partner that could balance me out and that could help build what we call here at Pizza Hut and Yum, my know-how. So I really think for that person out there, they really need to take a holistic look at what do I currently have in my department in terms of skill set, but also what is it that I need to know or something that I don't know and someone who can help balance me out. For me, our previous vendor was heavy on the technology side, heavy on the metrics, heavy on the numbers, and I didn't feel like they really got the essence of who our Pizza Hut brand was. So I sought out to find a partner that was more on sort of that ad agency branding, company branding standpoint, but also had a solid foundation in research and metrics that I could understand. I didn't need an overload of numbers. What I needed was the right numbers and for you to explain to me where did you get this data from, because I need to go back to management and tell them that as well. So hopefully that kind of answers that question. I mean, I think it's really interesting because I didn't know anything about this space until I came here, and I've just learned a tremendous amount about SEO, SEM. I've recruited for these people in the past, but just didn't know there was so much out there. And if I look at where the Pizza Hut business is and where we want to go, we've got to figure out from a recruitment standpoint, how do we attract that talent? You know, we have 450 or so company-owned stores, but then we also have our franchise stores that depend on us from a cultural standpoint, letting people know, hey, we should be an employer of choice, and let me tell you why. And that's a huge responsibility. There's also that fiscal responsibility because they're paying for this. And I even started looking at how much are we spending in all of these different areas, and I said, this just doesn't make sense to me. I literally said, I cannot believe we're spending this much money on this particular media, and I know for a fact we're not getting the ROI. And so a lot of it is you really have to dig in and dedicate the time to just peel. I just always say peel back the onion and just keep on going and keep on going. It's going to make you cry. I trust me, there were days where I cried. I was like, are you kidding me? I don't get this. But I really set my mind to, in a period of time, to just learn it and figure it out and then go in and develop a strategy, find that right partner, develop the right strategy, and just stick with it and go.
It's funny, and Nikki, I've been studying this employer branding stuff for about a month now, really kind of putting my head down and studying a lot of brands. And it's funny and ironic, but not a lot of big brands do it really well. I mean, you'd think that there were thousands of firms and great examples, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, I like Netflix. We could do like Netflix, but we could do it like this and represent our culture. And there just isn't that many great examples. So, you know, that being said, or that being the backdrop, what are some of the brands when you look out and you kind of cast out, and even when you were talking to the new agencies and you were like, I like what they're doing here on their career side. I like what they're doing here with their jobs. I like what they're doing here. Who are some of those examples that you used?
You know what? You've stumped me on that question, because that on this journey, what I realize is that, you know what? I know that we have a great culture, and we need to be able to showcase our culture. So I was really focused on the Pizza Hut Yum Brands culture and what I see does not depict what we have out there. But the one company, and it's going to sound really crazy, but we talk a lot about Taco Bell. We talk a lot about Taco Bell in our business. And if you look at the campaign where they talk about Live Moss, while their career page may not be exactly where they want it to be, what they do is they keep that Live Moss and they trickle that through their entire organization, not just from a customer-facing standpoint, but also from an internal employee, but also an external candidate-facing. And it's about taking what is your brand essence, what do you stand for, what's that big campaign, and making that your career campaign. And not the exact same thing, because you got to slant it just a little bit. And I don't know that I know anybody who does it really well. I know some really nice career sites out there, but I don't know that I've seen anyone who does it really well, because I think what people do is they over-index on sort of the piece where, okay, we got to have a nice, slick, pretty career site, but then they forget about the essence of what the brand is. And what I want to do and what I'm really working toward is to get a nice balance between the both, taking our brand essence but also that recruitment brand and marrying those two. And for our brand, everybody, most people know Pizza Hut. They may not like Pizza Hut pizza, but they know who Pizza Hut is. And the sad part about it is if I look at some of the numbers of what our traffic flow looks like, and while we're in rural areas in some instances, I believe our traffic should be higher, but I believe it's because we're not doing a really good job of letting people know not only who we are from a consumer standpoint, but who we are from an employment standpoint.
Well, I totally agree with you, Nikki, regarding that, taking the brand essence of your organization to the candidates community and to the entire world. So what should be the role of a recruiter, individual recruiter at your organization in representing the brand values and providing a better candidate experience so that everything makes sense, right? Whatever the effort that we are doing at the recruitment marketing front and whatever campaign that we are doing, but the end result, when they provide a better candidate experience and when they do represent the organization the way they want it to be, and that makes it all sense. So
yeah, I think
what
that's
do you expect?
Yeah, from my recruiters, and this is just how I've done recruiting in the past, and I think I mentioned this just kind of in the whole candidate experience excerpt. You know, it's really about knowing who your brand is. But here at Pizza Hut, we have what we call our recipes for hospitality, and when I looked at those and I was thinking about, you know, what are our recruiters need to do really well? Well, I don't know that they need to do anything different than what we want our employees and our stores to do. We want them to give an inviting welcome. When you talk to a candidate on the phone, you shouldn't be typing and looking at your phone and doing anything other than being focused on that candidate. So for us, it's really just going back to the basics on some of the things, but taking that Pizza Hut recipes for hospitality that we have and infusing that into our everyday vernacular with our candidates. You know, my expectation is that when the recruiters are speaking with candidates on the phone, that they are able to articulate the jobs holistically. This is what your responsibilities are. But then on the back end, you know, being a recruiter is, but on the back end where I noticed that some recruiters and mine here is don't forget about all those benefits, not those tangible medical and dental and all those benefits, but all the other benefits of working for a great company like a Pizza Hut or even, I'll say, a JCPenney or a Johnson & Johnson. You have to be able to explain that explicitly with enthusiasm and conviction and almost with this authenticity that even if the person didn't get the job, they're still going to be like, man, that was a great experience. I don't know what just happened there. And the business that we're in of making pizza, if you hang up the phone with somebody and they're still motivated to go order a pizza, we've done our job. Because what we don't want to do is have someone have a bad experience and that trickles over into their consumer mindset and they're like, ugh, I didn't like talking to Nikki on the phone. Why would I go and order a pizza from Pizza Hut? And I think that's one of and there's another piece to it as well. I've been in several different industries and I've been able to sell those companies, but you have to believe in your product too. When you get to the point where you don't believe in what you're, quote, selling to an applicant, a candidate, a new hire, then you're doing yourself a disservice, you're doing the company a disservice, and you're absolutely not giving that candidate a great experience.
Nice. Let me ask you a question about games or gamification. Marriott did this bit, I think about a year and a half ago, where they put on the front end, they put this game that kind of explained how Marriott worked, but it also at the same time educated candidates and screened in and screened out people, and it was a game for all practical purposes. Have you, what do you think of something like that? Would that potentially work in your environment? And what do you think about just in general? What do you think of the concept of gamification or games being used in employer branding?
I think it's an awesome idea, and we have not explored it here from the standpoint of an applicant standpoint. We've got an awesome training team that's looking into some of those pieces on how do we, you know, we're attracting this millennial, these millennials, but how do we really keep them engaged in terms of training? But when the time that I spent at JCPenney, that was one of the big project streams that we were looking at. I wasn't on that team, but I know what they were looking at, and it was about how do you also infuse your assessment process to figure out, hey, can this person really be on the sales floor? So I think it's a great idea. I'd love to be able to figure out how do I get it here, but I've got to figure out some other things first that are keeping me up late at night. But I think being able to engage someone on the front end, you hook them and then you just keep them all the way through. The big thing about that, though, is if you start out like that, how do you continue that on throughout their career? Because that's going to be an expectation that someone would have. Hey, they were really interactive on the front end, but then on the back end when they tried to hire me, I had to fill out a paper application and I had to fax this stuff in. So the caution is there, don't get too far ahead until you kind of almost get kind of that back of house stuff in order as well.
Truth. Let me, and I've got a lead for you on that stuff, so I'll take that offline. But I, the difference between jobs and the jobs part and the career side. So, like, what's your, as you're doing all this research at the same time, you know, you see these wonderful career sites that don't really emphasize jobs, and you see these really kind of job sites. You know, you go to some of these corporate pages and it's just a listing of jobs and job openings and really no emphasis around the career, around culture, around employer choice, great places to work, nice places to work, etc. So what's your take? What should be the emphasis for you or the balance for you between careers and positioning the careers and you know, the brass tacks of jobs, job openings, mm-hmm. et cetera?
So there's not an easy answer to that one. I personally think you need both. You need both because there's going to be that person, that candidate, that applicant, all they're interested in is landing on a job. They don't even want to read the job description. All they want to do is click apply. You have to cater to that person. And I'm not going to categorize them in hourly or non-hourly because I think there are just some people that's what they want. But then you've got the other camp of people who they're interested in actually genuinely learning about a career with your company. And so in our new kind of career site, we'll have a combination of both. When you're out there and you search for a job, we're going to go right to our career site, but we've got our job page that it's going to be structured where that's all that's on the page. The only thing you see is the job description, and you can click apply. In the past, you've got all this other stuff in this, I would call the stuff that interferes. It's just interference. I don't think we need interference. When somebody just wants to see the job, they just need to see the job. If they just want to search, that's what they should search for. If they want to see other stuff, they should have that option. But I think it has to be a nice balance depending upon your audience. For corporate careers, I think you need to have stuff about your benefits. What's it like working here? Here's a specific career path. For us, marketing is huge. So you come in as an associate brand manager and you do this. But then let's flip it over to the stores. There's hourly jobs where they may not be concerned about growing and being an RGM or being an area coach, which is a district manager for us. They may not be concerned. They're just concerned that I'm getting out of school in May. I need a job for the summertime because my mom and dad said they're not going to buy my gas. And that's all they're interested in. It's just a summer job. But then you have that camp of people that work in our stores where they're like, you know what? I want to make a career out of this. And they should be able to see that. A website that I really like is Chipotle. And they do a really nice job of outlining how you can progress your career with them from a store's perspective. It shows you a lot of stuff, salaries and all kinds, the job titles, how long it takes to get to the next step. Some people really want that. Other people, they don't need all that. All they want is just a job description, a list of jobs, and click and let me apply.
Well, as you said, the candidates, those are coming for the summertime jobs. I want to hear the perspective and the experience of Pizza Hut using mobile platform or mobile recruiting platform.
So it is on our roadmap. We have a few kind of what I'll call back-of-house challenges. I mean, right now our site is mobile-optimized. I mean, and this is not our new career site, but our new career site will be in a dynamic environment. It'll have all kind of the bells and whistles of you being able to walk and see what restaurants are in front of you. But we have some back-of-house issues that are not going to allow us to be able to have someone, quote, fully apply online. In this day and age, and like I said, we just have challenges. If you don't have the ability for someone to actually fully apply A to Z via a phone, a mobile device, iPad, I can't see how you can compete with all that talent that's out there. Everybody knows the statistics. I don't have them in front of me, but you know when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do, most people, even my 11-year-old, I know she does it. She picks up her phone to see if she has a text message or you've gotten something from Facebook or LinkedIn. And with the job, some of the job aggregators out there, they're getting apps. I mean, I think Glassdoor has an app. It's the way to go. For Pizza Hut, that's where we're headed. We just have a few back-of-house challenges with our ATS system right now that we're working through, but we're going to get there.
Well, wish you all the best. And, Nikki, there's one personal question that I wanted to ask you. The moment I know you're an HR person that are coming, you have a background of engineering, and being an HR professional, I'm really wanting to know how that engineering background has become a key help for your HR profession. Or what are some skills that you feel HR professionals should learn?
You know what? I like that question. I don't talk much about having an engineering degree just when I do brief introductions, but what it's allowed me to do is I can get really deep. I can analyze all the way down to the granular level. But what I had to do in balancing out that piece is I had to get my MBA, because that allows me now to go high level and think more strategic and big picture. As an HR professional, I think at the core, and I have some basic core values, it's all about treating people the right way for me. It's always about being able to be an avid learner. That's what we say here at Pizza Hut. But for me, that's just about always building upon my skill set. But the other piece is about integrity. And, you know, anyone who thinks about getting into the profession of HR has to have this high moral standard of, no matter what I hear, no matter what I think, you know, I always have to go back to that core, and that's the integrity piece. And for someone who, like me, I'm just a self-taught HR person. I got into HR kind of by accident. And I sought out all the information. I got my PHR within about a year and a half of getting into HR, and I just committed myself to learning the craft. And so, you know, I don't know a lot of people who say they want to be in HR, but I've been meeting a few people who are like, I really want to be in HR. And I'm like, why? I mean, what is it about this profession that really intrigues you? And I'm always interested in the answers. And but for me, you just – having the engineering degree, it just helps me be able to, I can do a process backwards with my eyes closed and my hands tied behind my back. But all that means nothing if I can't go high and I can't go deep to really, really analyze the situation. And I'm in recruiting. I'm not a generalist, but I know I have knowledge of what it's like being a generalist. I'm not a comp person, but I can definitely sit down with a comp person and talk through numbers. I'm not an OD person, but I can understand different personality traits and org effectiveness. You know, I'm not a trainer, but as most people know, recruiters are always training their hiring managers. You've got interview training, all that good stuff. So I think because I have my engineering degree, I'm a lot more versatile. People are sometimes like, well, why don't you go back in engineer? And I was like, because that is not my personality. I love to be with people, talking to people about their careers. And a recruiter has the best job in the world. We get to change people's lives. So why would I want to do anything different than that?
Well, that's great. And we have about 2 minutes right now. And I'm remembering our partner, Brian Wimpen, and this is one of his favorite questions. Where do you draw inspiration from?
Oh, wow. you know, I have a pretty strong center from a faith standpoint, and so I really, really work hard at staying grounded in my faith, but then I've got 3 kids. And so I'm always amused and inspired by the things that they talk about and what they say they want to do. I have a 5-year-old, I have an 11-year-old, and I have a 9-year-old. And at an early age, we have talked to them about, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what does that look like for you? And, you know, my daughter is this eccentric sort of free-spirited hip-hop dancer, yet she's really sensitive. And, you know, for her, it's about being a fashion designer at age 11, and she loves to draw, and she loves to read. And my middle child, he is the most quiet person when you meet him, but he's like, I want to be an NBA basketball player. He's kind of short right now. Don't know if that's truly his career path, But and then he says, well, you know, I want to be like my dad. And then my 5-year-old, yeah, he keeps me going. And he said he wants to be a dog. And I don't really know what that means. But I draw inspiration from them because they don't have any limits. They don't limit themselves from anything. They can conquer the world. And we taught them early on that you know, I give this to my husband too. I mean, you guys can do and be whatever you want to be. So my real inspiration is when I go home and I've had a really good day at work and then I walk in and they say something that just cracks me up and I'm like, you know what, this is why I do it all. I do it all just so you guys can have this opportunity to be whatever you want to be. So,
great. Well, we are about to wrap up the show.
All right.
So where can people come and find you and connect with you?
Oh, that's a good question. So I am on Twitter. I'm at AKA Nikki D. And then obviously I'm on LinkedIn. And I do Instagram here and there. But you can find me on Twitter at AKA Nikki D. And that's NICKYD.
Well, thank you so much, Nikki, for being with us today and sharing with your lunch with us.
Not a problem. It was a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.